Hello, this is Jill again here from Reading in Berkshire. Welcome to 2016. And I just wanted to do a little bit more work. I recorded a very short sequence earlier on today, which was around moving the arm. And I wanted to progress from there. The sequence that I've recorded earlier, you don't need to have done that sequence before you do this sequence. But this is just about bringing to your awareness, bringing to your attention some of the, if you like, slight differences that can take place if you do a movement in a different way. So moving the arm, why is the arm so important? Well, there are many occasions where people have an injury to their arm, and it's the limb that we use our upper limbs for so much of our day-to-day living in terms of function and in terms of what we want to do, from the very simplest forming of, if you like, gesturing, using our hands to speak. We use our hands for function. Our upper limbs are configured in a different way from those of, say, a dog or a horse. Our ability to use our fingers gives us enormous freedom of dexterity and capability to carry out fine-tuned tasks, from, you know, painting the most beautiful objects with tiny small paintbrushes, to being an artisan, to being a craftsman, to being a carpenter or a builder. And without the ability to use our upper limbs, it is more of a challenge. If you've ever seen any of the those people who are perhaps born without an upper limb and they've been able to adapt to using a lower limb instead, they can do what they want to do, but it might not be that they can obviously get around at the same time. So they might be unable. So if you're standing and walking, you're on your lower limbs, and then you've got the upper limbs that you can use for function, like washing, dressing, making a cup of tea, washing up. When something happens that causes us to not be able to use our limbs, our upper limbs, especially if it's something that's a relatively, if you like, permanent issue, then this causes a huge change. So our upper limb is a really interesting one to think about. So we were doing the last lesson sitting on a chair, and you can do the same if you like now. You can be sitting in any form of chair with arms, and you can rest your arms on the armrests. And if you close your eyes and just allow yourself to have a second or two just to leave behind all of the thoughts and worries of the day, anything that's been going on, allow yourself just to say, right, this is my time. I'm just going to spend a few moments sensing and feeling and thinking about my own body and self-use. And while you're doing that, you can do, I suppose, what one could term a scanning process, a process of taking your attention from one area on one limb to another area. And I suggest if you were to do this, you start with, say, your right arm or left arm, and then move over to the other arm. So say starting from your fingertips, and then your wrist, and your elbow, your shoulder blade, up into your neck and your thoracic spine, etc. Allowing yourself to sense and feel the amount of tensioning you're doing, and asking yourself, if this is an average day for you, how much work you're doing. And remember, this is only a percentage of what you're doing, because a big percentage of what you're doing you can't feel, you're not aware of. So do that with one arm, and then do it with another arm. And notice the difference it can make, even to just do this process, this simple process of drawing into your awareness and your attention the amount of tensioning that you're doing. You can spend as much or as little time as you want doing this part of the lesson. And if you want to switch off the recording now and just spend a few moments just doing that, then do. So as we carry on, what I'd like you to do is to have your elbows bent in such a way that your fingertips are actually resting on the armrest. so they're not hanging over the end. Again, if the chair isn't suitable, you can do it in your imagination, and you can then come back another time and do this lesson in a different chair. It might be, if you're in a wheelchair, for example, that it's not as easy and as comfortable to have your arms resting on the arms of the chair. So they tend to be very narrow, much narrower than the actual arm. So this is an interesting concept. So with your hands just resting on the armrests, just close your eyes and bring your attention to one of your hands, and then start to make, if you like, a scan of the contact that your hand is actually making. So bring your attention to your wrist itself, underneath the area of your wrist, and then onto the palm. And travel over to your thumb. Notice which bits of the thumb are actually making contact with the armrest. Notice if there are any gaps, any feelings of pressure, or indeed what it is that makes you aware that there is some sort of contact here. And you can spend as much time as you like exploring this sense of contact with the thumb. And then move on to, say, the index finger. And do the same thing. And then your second finger, the one that's usually the longest on your hand. And then the third, and finally the little finger. So notice the contact that you're making. Notice whether one of the fingers or all of the fingers seem to be making the same amount of contact, or if there's varying amount of contacts, and indeed whether you've got your hand resting flat on the surface, or if you've just sort of snugly put your hand just over the end of the armrest, just to actually fit the end into perhaps a slightly curled palm. So just notice this contact here, and not looking. So you're actually not looking, you're feeling, you're sensing. And imagine if you were to fashion this hand out of clay, or make it out of some sort of dough, how would you curve the hand? And think about the curves and the arches. Would there be a space underneath your palm, for example? Would it be lying flat? And then leave that hand alone and move over to the other hand. So whichever hand it was that you've just done, leave that one alone, and come over to the other wrist and do the same thing here. So again, what sort of contact can you feel underneath the wrist itself? How have you chosen to place this hand on the support? Is it in the same position, or did you put this one maybe a bit closer or further away? Or indeed, it might even be that you're just sitting on a settee and you haven't actually got anything on the left-hand side of you, in which case then you could do this another time and just review the process that you did just now on the same hand that you did initially. So to go down the thumb, notice what it is for you to know that you're making contact with the thumb and the surface underneath. And then move down each finger in turn. And again, you can spend as much time as you want on this. You can just switch this off if you want and just do this part of the lesson. You can just focus on one hand. You could spend 20 minutes if you wanted to, just exploring the underneath of the surface of the hand. Because one of the great things about doing this sort of thing in a lesson is we've got this sort of trendy thing called mindfulness at the moment, which, if any of you have been into meditation or Buddhism or anything like this for years, you'll all be smiling now hearing me saying this. mindfulness is about being now, it's about being present, it's about keeping your attention on the moment. And of course, as you're bringing your whole attention to this part of your hand and your wrist and your thumbs, what you're doing is you're just concentrating on this one little area. So this is a chance for your brain really to have a concerted bit of attention to one activity. So it's quite healthy really, it's quite nice and relaxing, which is why sometimes when I teach Feldenkrais inspired based movement work, I hear snoring coming from the room and people as they relax more. So stay awake, stay with me in this process, and stay with this hand that you've been working on, because I'm going to ask you to do something now. So whichever hand it is that you've been working with just now, just stay on that hand and really notice the contact that you're making and what it is that tells you about the contact. And then notice how much you can feel this hand. In other words, how much you're aware of this hand. Because now what I want you to do is to draw your attention right away to the backs of your thighs and your calves. And notice what it's like now to just sort of almost shift your attention away from your hands. And notice what it's like to travel with your attention down into the backs of your legs, down to your calves, and if your feet are resting on the floor, notice what it's like to bring your attention all the way over to this part of your body. Is it possible to be able to sense the right hand as much as you can do when you're focusing completely on that right hand, as it is when you are then beginning to take your attention away? And certainly you can do both at the same time, but it might be that you find you need to flick your attention from one part of you to the other. So here's an interesting thing, isn't it? When we are when we're really thinking about, say, using our right hand or our left hand, it's sometimes important to recognize that as we go through this process, that actually then it can mean that we find that we are becoming more and more able to sense this hand. So what's fun is then to begin to start to think about the way in which you could perhaps even use a technique like this. Let's say you banged your wrist. You didn't really hurt yourself very badly, but you banged your wrist. You're walking through the house, you banged your wrist. And it's really hurting and it's really sore. Well, at that moment in time, your attention is probably really directed and focused into that wrist. Now, if you know there's nothing really that's happened, you might do a distraction technique. You might rub your skin, for example. You might, well, hear me doing it now. Rub your skin, so the sensory cortex is suddenly awakened. One of the things you could also do is to take your mind off into maybe your other hand. Maybe use this process that you've been training yourself to do and enable yourself to actually have a sense of the other hand, which could be something that people can use, for example, if they have persistent and chronic pain. And people have got a way of using their brains. But brains, plural, how many brains have I got? Probably none today. It's just after New Year. Although I didn't drink anything at New Year, I was very good. And so when we use our brain, we have patterns, ways that we do things. Most people nowadays are aware that pain is something that is we create in our system. It's not the hand making us hurt, but something we're doing. It's like feeling emotion. And so if we have an issue where we've become really good at having our attention on this part, and people keep asking us questions like, how's your hand today? Is your hand still hurting? Oh, let me have a look at it. Oh, it looks swollen. Oh, it must still be sore. After a while, what can happen is that we're sort of training our brain to have this quite negative sense of that hand, but lots of associations going on. So this simple process of training ourselves to go a little bit more deeply into what it is that we're able to do, what we can sense, how we can sense and feel, how we can actually make ourselves more aware of different parts of our body, is a huge skill. And it's a talent that I think a lot of people don't think about. So the focus of this lesson today has been very simple. If we link it together with the process that we were doing the other time earlier today, which was around speed of movement and how that makes a change. If we're wanting to perform an activity with our upper limb, our hands, one of the things we've got to do is we've got to have an awareness of where the hand is. We've got to know how to make contact with it. And oftentimes when I work with people who've had injuries, let's say this year, in the last year, I've worked with some people, a couple of people who've had really quite nasty injuries. One's had multiple shattering of the head of her humerus from falling. She fell down a hole, actually, that some builders left in the house. And she impacted the tip of her shoulder, the humerus, into the edge of her concrete tiles, and it shattered the bone. It had to be all sort of put back together again, a bit like pieces of pasta, I suppose, really, and then stuck with bone cement and plates, etc. And another chap had fell off a Segway, which is not very nice, and fell onto the tip of his elbow. Did much the same as the other lady, but he ended up having to have bits excised. And of course, in both of those cases, they were given really strong messages about what had gone on, very big danger messages. And of course, they were immobilized. And while they were immobilized, they had their arm unable to move it and use it. So the focus of their attention was very much on another part of their body. And so when both of these people came to see me, for me to assist them to get back into using their upper limb, one of the first stages was to be beginning to start to encourage them to think about some of the processes that we use in, for example, pain management, some of the processes we use in sport. And some of those are to do with visualizing movement, thinking about movement, and sensing the part of the body that you're actually going to use. So bringing your attention into the part of you that you're going to use. So this is a very simple little process that we've done today, but it's like most things, it's a very profound but simple process that you could use in many different contexts. For example, if you've got somebody who has recently had an accident, a stroke, or something else that's happened, and remember none of these processes are meant to be medical interventions, but encouraging them to sit and relax, and just, if they've got a very painful wrist, they're perhaps waiting for x-ray, just encourage them to think about the other hand, encourage them to think about the other arm, just to help them to take their attention away, to distract them by talking to them about something slightly different. But then at the same time, there might be occasions when you actually want to do that in reverse, when you might actually want to talk them back into their hands, talk them back into their limb, to make them connect with it again, to make them to be aware that this is part of themselves. And to a great extent, this is an embedded part of the work that I do when I'm coaching people to rediscover how to move and use themselves. So I hope that's been helpful today. Always put up any comments and findings that you come up with. It's always useful to me to know. But as I say, I hope you enjoy that and explore and spend a bit of time doing it. And I hope you enjoy it and take good care. And this is from me, Jill, here in Reading in Berkshire. Horrible, wet, grizzly day. I look forward to spending more time with you in the future. And also, I'll be coming back maybe later on today and introducing you a little bit to some more of the work I'm going to be doing this year. And take care.